This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by a knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code FANRUN in all caps. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
For.
I think indict.
Link. They don't want to give up the coach's identity, but they call him Coach Mack.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
You want to be a beast at lifting, at football, at anything in life, you need to have big testicular fortitude. Look at me. I may have a small penis.
Airing every day from
noon to three.
I don't know why he would want the attention.
He's a grower, not a shower.
On 1340 WKGN.
Isn't it kind of dangerous, I ask? What are the side effects? As he then snatched it away, looked at the label, his eyes grew wide. Oh, dear. It says here that side effects may include getting huge with occasional bouts of manliness. He said he had struggled gaining some weight. Coach Mack asked him, do you know why I eat so many bananas? He says, have you ever seen a small gorilla?
Hour three kicking off in the White Claw Studios. Hour three brought to you by Kraft Axe Throwing. Use the promo code FANRUN for 15% off your booking located minutes from downtown Knoxville. Go throw some axes. Go drink some White Claws. Go watch TV. Go hang out with the boys or the girls.
The boys.
Hour three headlines. What do you got for us, Draven?
The Eagles have found their head coach, John. It's not your boy Mayo.
Okay.
Not Josh McDaniel. It is actually the Colts. Offensive coordinator, defense coordinator, the offense coordinator.
Am I wrong or did they not act like it was yesterday? Did we not see reports that it was like narrowing down on Josh McDaniels?
Yeah. Okay. It was kind of coming in as either Josh McDaniel or Deuce Staley was kind of the top two guys just because players were vouching for Deuce Staley. That was kind of the reports. But yeah, Nick Sirianni, the Colts offense coordinator, only 39 years old, will now become the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. He spent three seasons as a Chiefs assistant coach, and then five seasons with the Chargers, and the past three with the Indianapolis Colts. So, John, you've watched that Colts offense a decent amount, I would say, facing off against your Titans. I mean, did you see anything that made you think Sirianni should be a head coach in the NFL?
I mean, I feel like everyone talked about their defense way more.
Right. And
Colts defense is what I always heard about. I mean, they had open receivers. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Matt Eberflus was kind of the hotter candidate, the defense coordinator for the Indianapolis Colts. He was getting a lot more attention. I think I saw Nick Sirianni was interviewing a couple times, but this was a little surprising. So, Carson Wentz reuniting with one of Frank Reich's guys. So, maybe that'll be good. Maybe build that connection that everybody kind of thought. But, yeah, what do we make of this for Philadelphia?
I guess if you think that you can't hire Frank Wright away from the Colts, so I guess you try to go get his right-hand man and try to
next best thing, huh? All righty, so there you go. So how many what teams are you head coach now? Is it just
is it anybody? Is anybody still open?
I think there's still one team, isn't there?
Jets have hired Chargers.
Chargers got Brandon Staley, yeah. Texans don't have a coach.
That's right.
Yep. Of course the first one without one.
Right.
Maybe they're waiting for Bieniemy.
Maybe. Eric Bieniemy still out there, still without a head coaching job. A lot of people surprised about that. But there you go. Nick Sirianni. It's just kind of weird. I don't know. We'll see how it works out for Philadelphia. Mentioned just an hour ago, Haskins was visiting the Steelers. He was coming to have a little workout, and apparently it all worked out pretty well because the Steelers are planning to sign the former first-round pick, Haskins, and he will be a Pittsburgh Steeler. So, I mean, is there anything to make of this? There's no way Haskins is going to be on the field this year, right? This has got to be just some backup role.
They say they signed him?
Yeah, it's pretty much official. Albert Breer came out and said.
That's a thing, I would imagine.
You think so?
I would imagine it's kind of like how Chad Kelly kept getting signed by the Colts, and then they're like, okay.
I don't know how Chad Kelly. He was getting in trouble, too, off the field.
Right.
He still kept getting signed. But anyways.
I would think that's the case, that they're not bringing him into actually the backup.
Yeah.
Or compete for to be the heir apparent to Big Ben. But I will say that Dwayne Haskins was a first-round talent, and maybe you try to fix him if you can. And if not,
Washington's offense wasn't very good, which Pittsburgh's offense wasn't very good down the stretch either. But
maybe they're like, hey, he's big. He looks like Big Ben.
Move around a little better, maybe.
We'll see what we can do with him.
All right. So that's pretty interesting, especially this early in the offseason. Moving on to just kind of another head coaching hire. The Jags just landed the Ravens defensive line coach Joe Cohen. He will be their defense coordinator. That was their top choice. So Urban Meyer starting to build up his staff a little bit. Was rumored to get Cam's boy Raheem Morris, but it looks like they're going with the Ravens defensive line coach, another Wink Martindale, couldn't say it, Tree, who also kind of got some head coaching views, the Ravens defense coordinator. We also had some awards coming out. Pro Football Writers came out and gave their MVP, offensive player, defensive player, coach of the year. Of course, no surprise that Rodgers got MVP. Maybe a little bit of surprise. Your boy, Derrick Henry. I guess not a surprise. He rushed for 2,000 yards, but there were some names in there, and Derrick Henry was voted the offensive player of the year as well.
Who got MVP?
Rodgers.
It's always weird to me when they're not the same. Like Aaron Rodgers plays
offense. Yeah, doesn't ever really
make
sense.
Aaron Rodgers get MVP and offensive player of the year. It's like they're just trying to make both people happy. You know, cool for Derrick Henry. He had the great stats. I mean, Rodgers won MVP. That's also deserved. But it's always weird to me that they just don't give them both the award.
Right. Aaron Donald was the defense player of the year. And then how about Kevin Stefanski? He got coach of the year. A little bit
he
of
did a
good
job.
Yeah, he did.
Taking Cleveland to the I don't know if they take the playoffs into account. I don't think they do, but like to take them to the playoffs, win 11 games, that's a big time job. And he made Baker Mayfield look competent.
Right.
And keep in mind, like, Odell Beckham went down. So like they went without their quote unquote best player. Their highest paid player.
And speaking of Odell Beckham Jr., reunited, and it feels so good. Saquon and Odell going to be rehabbing with each other during the offseason, both coming off pretty serious injuries. Any chance Odell ends up back in a Giants uniform? I mean, there's all these rumors that he's not going to be a Browns next year. The Giants need a star receiver, right?
I love that they're just going to undo all these bad hires, like, or all these bad trades. Like, hey, Miami, can we just have our pick back? We'll give you Deshaun Watson. Yeah. We just want our pick back. Here, just we need that number three pick, please. And here you go. Please, Cleveland, we'll give you Jabril Peppers back. Can we just have Odell back, please?
I mean, they do need a weapon. There's no way they'd do that, though, right? After trading him away like that and how kind of all that ended. But
if Wade can come back to Knoxville, Odell can go back to New York.
That's true.
Let's just right all the wrongs.
There we go. But, yeah, they are working out together. Still buddies, of course, Saquon and Odell. So just something to look at. Never know. Giants could make that move. Moving to the AFC Championship game, the Bills and the Chiefs. Bills defense, safety Jordan Poyer, he knows the challenge coming into this game. He said, you look at trying to stop them, and it's kind of like, who are you going to stop? You look at how they're winning games, they're making big plays, explosive plays. We have to find a way to limit their explosive plays. When you're looking at that matchup, John, you think the Bills can slow down this Chiefs offense? Because Patrick Mahomes as well, good in practice.
If Patrick Mahomes, like I said, the turf toe, the toe injury, I don't know if it's turf or not, but the toe injury.
It's turf toe. They said he stubbed his toe, which is turf toe.
Is that what turf toe is?
Yeah, I mean, it's just you like stub your toe and like mess it up, right?
I didn't know what turf toe was.
That's turf toe. What's turf toe then?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure turf toe is like a stub, like you stub your toe and it's like not broken, but it's pretty sore.
I just thought that was called stub toes. Having a stub big toe.
When you ever see the injury report say stub toe?
Well, I mean, if I kick my dresser getting up in the night and stub my toe, do I have turf toe? That doesn't seem right.
It's a sprained ligament at the base of your big toe.
And I'm sure that can happen based on stubbing your toes.
It could happen, I suppose.
I mean, the Bills have been playing better defense the last, like, you know,
especially last
months.
Week. They kind of dominated Lamar Jackson a little bit.
I got some advice for him. Guard Travis Kelce.
Well, the Bills gave up the second most passing yards to tight ends this season. So,
that seems problematic. That seems problematic. Travis Kelce is going to be wide open in the middle of the field. Guard Travis Kelce.
Was also going to say Nate Taylor, a Chiefs writer, did tweet out about an hour ago. He said, and if you're wondering, yes, Patrick Mahomes looked like Patrick Mahomes during the open portion of today's practice. So I'm going to assume he was running around, slinging it, doing Patrick Mahomes things. So I'm sure he'll be good to go for the game, but be an interesting test. Speaking of another interesting test, the Lions got their coach. They got their guy for the future, Dan Campbell. And Dan Campbell is out here talking about biting kneecaps. Did you guys see?
Well, they didn't just get their coach. They got their dude.
They got their dude as well. It says the dude on the
He's trying to be dude so people quit calling him PC bro. You're PC bro.
What do we? So I just want to. I want to read this quote just a little bit. So he said. So this team's going to be built on when you're going to get when you're getting going to get going to kick you in the teeth, and when you punch us in the back, we're going to smile at you. When you knock us down, we're going to get up, and on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right, and we're going to stand up, and then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. All right. And on the way up, we're going to take your kneecap, your other kneecap. I mean, he just kept talking about kneecaps. What's this guy talking about? I mean, is this kind of a speech that gets you fired up, eating kneecaps? Or
he what says a bunch of weird things.
I'm hungry now.
If you go back and just listen to the stuff he used to say whenever he was at Miami as their interim coach, he's just a football guy, man.
Yeah. To say the least, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way.
He's a football meathead. That's who he is. It's not going to work.
There's no way this works.
Like, you know, usually when there was a coach getting fired, the next guy would be like an overcorrection, like the opposite of that guy.
Yeah.
Jim Caldwell, you know, was quiet and boring. You brought in Matt Patricia, was supposed to bring some energy. He ended up being a meathead.
I was going to say, just an idiot.
And now they are bringing a new meathead just to take over his place and keep the meathead train rolling. We'll see how it goes.
Just don't feel very confident in it. And then moving to the NBA. Oh, man, the NBA, it's just looking more and more rough. The Grizzlies, Memphis fans around these parts, not going to be seeing them the next couple of games. They've had their next three games postponed. Three consecutive games postponed. So just continues to get bad. The Wizards haven't played in a long time. They're still dealing with COVID issues. I mean, just not good. And then you have the NBA, who is enforcing rules forbidding hugs and handshakes. And apparently they're going to have security on the court as well to make sure that nobody is hugging and nobody is giving each other handshakes. And, of course, players don't like this because they're saying we're on the court for 48 minutes. Like, what does that matter?
It does seem
it's a mess right now. I mean, how much do you think this is taking away just from NBA quality of play? Not even just worrying about the season finishing. I mean, worrying about the season even being worth it. I mean, people could say that about the bubble, of course, with how it went down and, you know, no fans, no home court advantage, anything like that. Is the quality of the NBA right now, is it getting too ridiculous at this point?
It seems bad.
Especially when you have security having to come out there and break up handshakes. Yeah. Like, come on. Is this really helping?
They need to get the vaccine.
Ugh. Not good.
Just play.
Not good for the NBA. What are the chances here we make it through the season right now?
They're
going
to make it through the season.
It keeps getting worse, though. You don't think there's any...
Have they stopped?
No.
Okay.
But there's a lot of games you're postponing that...
We'll get to them in the second half of the year.
Okay.
That's why they left the schedule open.
Okay. I keep hearing that, but eventually you get enough games postponed. I mean, you're not going to be able to make up all of them. So, just something to keep eyes on.
Get the vaccines and stuff at some point, too. I'm sure they'll be able to fast-track that for players.
What about the chances of going back into a bubble? Any chances of that?
For the playoffs, sure.
Playoffs, yeah.
But not you know, I wouldn't imagine before them. Any other headlines?
Mentioned that Antonio Brown, this report coming out 20 minutes ago, that he will be a game-time decision versus the Packers. So,
right.
Another key weapon.
Good batch of headlines. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Anything like otherwise in sports we need to hit? I mean, this week has been a lot about Tennessee, but I mean, you know, Tennessee's actually got news right now.
Yeah.
Big news. Have we missed anything else? I mean, what else? Tennessee Athletics has already tweeted out.
Yeah,
they got it. They're on it.
Photoshop, nice Photoshop job and everything.
The University of Tennessee welcomes Danny White as its new director of athletics.
Hmm. Got a good little sound to it, doesn't it?
It does.
Let's go, Danny. Bring us back, Danny.
Anything else we've missed?
I don't really see anything. Just guess NFL coming up this weekend.
Okay. Well, we'll stay at Tennessee then. Tennessee makes a statement hiring Danny White to be its new director of athletics. I would like to see how quickly this came together.
Yeah.
At what point do you think Tennessee knew, like, hey, we got to find somebody to replace Phil Fulmer?
Yesterday, when everybody was hitting the transfer portal and everybody was raging about Phil Fulmer still getting paid. They're like, let's do something good. We need to change the narrative real quick.
Well, they moved quickly. Like, yesterday was about as dark as it could be, like, you know, without some type of huge, huge, like, scandal.
Yeah.
Like a Baylor or Penn State type of scandal. Like, that was as bad as you could be without actually, like, having crimes committed. We're just, you are dealing with a fired coach, a disgraced coach. You got a former tight ends coach who got fired for cause. You have his girlfriend tweeting out popcorn gifts as she watches all of his recruits leave, kind of, you know, mocking Tennessee. You got these players getting out of here. And everyone's like, wow, Tennessee's going to be able to not even field a roster. You saw Barrett Salee with maybe one of the dumbest takes I've seen, which I don't know how you guys feel, but when I saw it, Barrett's somebody who usually tries to be at least on Tennessee's side, but did you guys see what he tweeted yesterday?
I didn't see it.
Said that, you know, Tennessee did this to themselves. They're not going to make a bowl game for at least 5 years. It's like, excuse me? They're going to make a bowl game for 5 years? What are we talking about?
There's no way. 5 years.
I'm not going to make a bowl game for 5 years. All you have to do is go 500 to make a bowl game, Barrett.
Yeah.
I mean, what type of odds, not even knowing who Tennessee coaches, just knowing, or who's coaching Tennessee, just knowing the athletic director you just hired, how good of odds would you need to bet that Tennessee goes 6-6 next year? Now, again, like, the sanctions, maybe Tennessee's got a bowl bin, whatever. Like, let's just pretend, like, the goal is just to go 500.
Yeah.
What odds would you need for Tennessee to go 500 next year against that schedule? 2-1? I mean, if I offer you 2-1 odds, like, I feel like you'll take that bet.
Yeah.
That you can beat Pittsburgh, Vandy, and South Carolina all at home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you'd be favored to do it. Like, the over is probably going to be 5.5 or maybe even 4.5 next year for, you know, when you look at the win totals. But, like, 2-1 odds, I mean, I would take that.
Yeah, I'd take it, too.
And that's in year one. Now, again, maybe you don't make a bowl game because you're dealing with a probation or a bowl ban, whatever. That, I understand that. But if you hire somebody that can't get you a bowl game in 3 years, I mean, come on. What are we talking about?
We're not that deep, are we? We're not that deep in the mud.
And, I mean, like, even if you are, like, a good coach can pull his way out to 500.
Yeah.
To six wins within 3 years. We're not talking about winning the East or competing for the East or, like, going 8-4. We're talking about going 6-6.
Yeah, that's very doable.
Come on. The overreactions, the hyperbole was just overwhelming. I mean, am I alone in that, or is that just, like, a really dumb thing to say?
No, I think you're right. That's absurd.
2-1 odds, Hayden? You feel like Tennessee could get 6 wins next year? 2-1 odds?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, again, I don't think that's far-fetched. I mean, it's not asking too much when you look and say,
Pruitt took us to a bowl game.
In year two, yeah. I mean, like, three – you know, you could say that things are worse now than they were 3 years ago, you know, in 2017 when he took over, but they're not that much worse. Right?
Yeah.
What was that? What does that mean?
I don't know. It's pretty bad with Butch left, but, I mean – if you look at it, most of Butch's players, like, were pretty good for Pruitt. So,
I mean, yeah, some of them were. Yeah,
I would say some of Pruitt's better players. Which he might have. The development is the factor there too. But
which I don't know how much he developed in a year or whatever. But, like, either way, like, if Tennessee hires, I mean, I would imagine Tennessee's going to hire a better coach than Jeremy Pruitt. Like Danny, yeah. To me, Danny White, if he doesn't hire somebody better than Jeremy Pruitt, I would be shocked. There's not very many misses on this guy's hire list. Right? Right.
No, yeah, you're right.
Randy Boyd said on the hire of it, he said this is going to be the greatest decade in UT athletics.
Decade of the Vols.
Begins now.
Decade of the Vols.
Begins
back.
Now.
Where did you see that at?
On Twitter.
From whom? I need to.
Wes Rucker tweeted it out.
I'm blocked.
Oh, yeah.
Can't see it.
Forgot about that.
Decade of the Vols back on.
Let's go.
John, isn't it your position that the decade doesn't start till the
It started two weeks ago? It's been a rough 3 weeks.
Yeah.
there's still time to turn around, but this is, you know, if we're starting it today. Inauguration day was yesterday. Let's cleanse there, too.
There we go.
120-21 began the decade of the Vols. Or 121, either one, whichever we want to do. But, yes, last year was the end of the Dooley decade.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Because there's no year zero, right? Correct. Is that your opinion? Yeah.
I mean, it's not my opinion. There's a fact.
I mean, okay. Well, there's no year zero. I'm not saying it's wrong.
I understand. I'm just, it's not my opinion. It's just a fact. There was no year zero. We don't have to have this discussion anymore either. People are tired of it probably as much as they are me talking about dried mayo. Although, you know, actually, every time I talk, people are like, you know what? I'm sold. More and more people, the mayo mobile is filling up. And you don't have to huff and puff, Hayden. I'm just, quick aside here, that, you know, the more I speak about him, the more people get on board. That's all I'm saying. Mm. Back's tangled up in my headset. But, like, that's all I'm saying, you know.
He could probably get us to the Mayo Bowl.
Within 5 years, I guarantee he could.
I'd hope so.
Within 5 years, he could. Embarrassingly. What are we talking about? Tennessee's not going to make a bowl game for 5 years? 5 years? What are you talking about? What a stupid take that was. A bowl game. Which, by the way, bowl games are stupid anyways.
Chancellor Plowman did say that they had interest from a robust candidate pool.
Yeah, because we're handing out money, baby. We're back.
Yeah.
Again.
Enabling us to act quickly with great
we're
confidence.
We're embracing
Let's
the
go.
Fact we've been handing out money right now.
I'm not going to allow people to act like no one wants to coach in Tennessee or no one wants to be here. We got too much money and too much to offer here. Somebody will be willing to take our money. That's pretty good. Now, let's get us a good coach. Mm-hmm. Let's get... Go ahead and leave, everybody. If you guys want to leave, you're in the portal, just go. See get out of here. That's fine.
I'll watch you.
It'll suck. It'll suck, but like we'll find some people to transfer in. We'll find some people to transfer in. We'll make it work.
Can't get much worse than 3-7, John.
It really can't. It really can't. All right.
What a turnaround of days, though.
What a great, this has been a great week.
So how does this whole thing work? So, like, just your agents just call the university and, like, we're interested here? And
I'm curious about that as well.
I would say the search firm reaches out.
Oh, the search firm.
Like, if Tennessee hires a search firm to find their ID, I'd imagine they got connections everywhere, and they just have a list, and they'll start calling. I would imagine, again, I don't know for sure, but I'd imagine they have a top list of candidates, and they start there and just call and say, hey, we're calling on behalf of the University of Tennessee. Would there be any interest for you talking? I don't know. Or talking, you know, maybe they call their agent. Maybe the search firm calls Danny White's agent and says, hey, Tennessee, yes or no? Hmm. And then Danny says, yeah, we'll talk. And then maybe at that point, Randy and calls.
Hmm. I'm honestly surprised that we got this guy because hasn't this search firm been, like, notorious for getting losers at Tennessee?
I don't know if it's the same search firm.
It is.
I think it is. Yeah,
it is.
Pretty sure.
Well, the search firm gave us Rick Barnes, if you believe Dave Hart. We paid like $80,000, I believe it was, to hire Rick Barnes immediately after he got fired. We hired a search firm. Like, hey, Rick Barnes. Like, okay, call him. Okay, good. Danny White says, I am thrilled to be headed to Knoxville and to a university with a great competitive tradition and a spirited and devoted fan base. There you go, Danny. We are very spirited. And we are very devoted.
That's one word for us.
Volunteer fans have an expectation to win, and my first task will be taking on the search for a head new football coach. And to do so, I need you guys to all go retweet my tweets and get me up to 100,000 followers, please. I'm just kidding.
Is that what he said?
I sound like a recruiter over there.
Danny likes his tweets, too, though. Mm-hmm. All right, let's play some This or That coming up. A special edition. Hayden, what have you got for him?
We've got a coaching search edition, John.
Okay, ooh, coaching search edition of like This or That.
Would you like the names now?
Danny White is an innovative leader in college athletics with a strong track record in recruiting and developing leaders. He brings a combination of winning attitude, competitive drive, and dedication to integrity and academics, and that's what we are looking for. We undertook this search with urgency and found strong interest from a robust candidate pool, like you said. I'm proud to say we found our leader, and I'd like to thank President Boyer, trustees, and our staff for their support and hard work. Sorry, I thought that was Boyd saying the decade of the falls thing. Go ahead. Sorry.
Would you like our matchups here?
Yes,
okay,
please.
First.
What we've been waiting for 3 minutes now.
It's a little...
Today, Junior.
Okay, first, Jamie Chadwell versus Billy Napier.
Okay.
The second matchup is Lane Kiffin versus Hugh Freeze.
Ooh, these are good so far.
Third matchup, Tom Herman versus Gus Malzahn.
Good job by you, Hayden.
Good matchups. Good job.
This is pretty good.
And all of these are
proud of you.
Let's just say Kevin Steele's already out.
No Kevin Steele. Just clean
slate. House. Gotcha. Yes.
Danny White says, I don't care to pay $1 million to get this schmohawk Kevin Steele out if Gus wants to come. Good job by you, Hayden. I'm proud of you. That was a good matchups. Good matchups. We'll play some this or that coming up after the break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. If you've never tried FanDuel before, championship weekend is the perfect time to start. They're offering their beloved 25-1 odds boost on any team to win this weekend. They've done it for the wildcard weekend. They did it for the divisional round. And now they're doing it for championship weekend. That's right, 25-1 odds, any team, any playoff game this weekend. Packers. Don't miss out on this exclusive offer. We've been using FanDuel since it launched here in Tennessee. We love FanDuel. It's easy to use, easy to deposit, easy to find your bet. And they always offer good odds boosts and specials every day. And some super big boost each weekend, including this one, 25-1. For new users, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Use the promo code TALKSPORTS so they know that we sent you. Must be 20 or older and present Tennessee. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus of $125. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Hayden, before we go, 25-1 odds. You taking Cam or Draven and this or that?
I think I'm
trick
have to
question.
Go
You're an unbiased judge. You don't pick anybody. You fell for it. Hit the music. This or that coming up now. You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this or you can get with that. This. That. This. That. This. That. This. That. This. 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 This.
All right. Who's ready to play the debate segment known as This or That?
Let's do it.
Coaching Search Edition.
Okay.
I'm excited to see. Great job again by Hayden getting these ready.
Our first matchups in the Fun Belt. Ooh. Jamie Chadwell versus Billy Napier.
You know where I'm going on this one. I got to go with my man, Jamie Chadwell, who's been rocking things out over there at Coastal Carolina. And guess what? He also beat Billy Napier head-to-head this year. Oh, what do you know? Jamie Chadwell, Tennessee guy. I know Billy Napier is as well. He's from Cookeville. It's closer to the Mid-State. He sounds like he belongs more at Vandy, if you ask me, with the Mid-State ties there. But Jamie Chadwell, that's the guy. That's the guy you want. Innovative offense. He's been a builder everywhere he's gone. From all the way back to, you could go all the way back to like him in the Division II days when he was just getting started. He built a team up from 2-8 to in two seasons have him at 11-3. 11-3. Did the same thing with a Charleston Southern team. He didn't really have to build that team up, but he maintained what they had there. Coastal Carolina built them up from 3-9 to 11-1. He's a builder. What does Tennessee need right now? We are at the bottom. We need somebody to build us up. We got to get back to the top. It's what we need to do. This is the guy. He wants to be here. You've probably heard him talk about the Tennessee job before. He gushes over it. It sounds great to him. He wanted to come here if he was a better player. He wasn't there yet. So that means he's hungry. You want a coach that's hungry because then they're going to fight for what you want. And what we want is wins. And Chadwell will bring the wins.
Draven, your response.
Well, these two coaches are very similar. Both from the Sun Belt, right? Both built these porous programs up pretty good. I mean, if you want to compare records, though, just to use that comparison, I mean, you know, we got Billy Napier, 28-11 at Louisiana. It's a little bit better than Chadwell, who only went 19-17. Also, we want experience, right? I mean, we want somebody that's at least been a part of bigger programs, has kind of got to see that, whether it's an assistant, whatever. So you talked about Jamie Chadwell, like, yeah, that's all cool, building up those tiny little programs. I mean, listen to these schools for a second and tell me what you guys think. Charleston Southern, North Greenville, Delta State. Ugh. I mean, just a lot of small schools, not a lot of great competition. You know where Billy Napier has been in his career, Hayden? He's been at some pretty decent schools. Grad assistant at Clemson. He was at Clemson as their tight ends coach. He was at Clemson as their OC/running back coach. went to Alabama, was a receiver coach at Alabama under Nick Saban for a few years, 3 years in fact. Arizona State is their OC quarterback coach. He's been around. He's played in the bigger games. He's not in these little Delta High or whatever the hell that is. Like, who's Delta? These are schools. He's actually been at places that matter, and he's done the same exact thing that Chadwell has done, building up that program, except he has a better record. He's done it better. I don't even need an argument. This is too easy.
You guys done? Okay, Hayden?
I'm done. That's all I need.
Hayden, ready to make a decision?
Based on the argument, I think I'm going to have to go Draven.
I thought that Draven made a good point, listening to schools. I mean, experience kind of lacking for Jamie Chadwell when it comes to Power 5.
Sure is. Cam, I would definitely brought up his wife as an argument. Just saying. I mean, just saying. Yeah, I think that would
have won me over with that. Yeah, she is a beautiful woman who is from Athens. Maybe it was my neighbor. I don't know. I still haven't found out yet.
You going to slide in those DMs or?
I was thinking maybe wait till we hire him.
Okay. Yeah. That way it's a little bit less, you know. You don't want to creep him away
That's
or nothing.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Point, Draven. Cam, you're in a hole.
Okay. Just all the way I like it.
Second up.
Holes?
Sometimes.
Fair enough.
Second up, Lane Kiffin versus Danny Hugh Freeze.
Got to go Lane Kiffin here. This is all about, for me, this is all about second chances, right? This is all about second chances. You either give Kiffin that second chance at UT after he kind of did us a little dirty after that 1 year, or you give, you know, Hugh Freeze a second chance, right? You give him a second chance being back in the SEC, yada, yada, yada. But let's be honest here. Hugh Freeze is at Liberty currently, right? Like, cool, you do well at Liberty. It's the same thing with these other guys that have been at small schools. Do we really know if they can make it? Do we really know if they can make it in the big league here in the SEC? Lane Kiffin, man, that first year in UT, forget about how it ended. Just think about that year. Think about what he was building on, right? 6-7, yeah, not bad. But that was something we could build on. We would take 6-6. We've already said 6-6, don't go to our bowl game, have a bowl ban. Let's keep moving forward. We know that Kiffin can build that. Hugh Freeze hasn't been at UT. We don't even know how he fit the culture. Yeah, cool. He might like it. He might have a cool little love story here, whatever. That's the only reason that he has that much attraction, right? And by the way, I would take Kiffin's baggage over Hugh Freeze's baggage any day of the week. I don't even think that's a question. And not to mention, Lane Kiffin is at Ole Miss. Did pretty well this season. They were fun. They were exciting. Wouldn't you want that fun and excitement here? Liberty was, yeah, they were pretty good, but my God, it was defensive battles hanging with Virginia Tech and ACC teams. Is that what we want? I don't know. I think I'd rather take Kiffin, who he gave Bama some trouble, man. He put up some numbers on Bama. Wouldn't you guys want to see that? Us actually at least put up some numbers in a shootout against Alabama? I would take that. Give me Kiff.
Wait, hold on. Before we go, did you say defensive battle between Virginia Tech and Liberty?
I meant the NC State game.
Okay.
Yeah, I meant the NC State game.
I was going to say, because I'm pretty sure the Virginia Tech game was 38-35.
What are you doing here? Are you trying to help Draven?
Like, I'm just saying, just clarify. Like,
stay out of it. Cam, you're up.
Okay, yeah, you can have a fun 5-5, go 500. Sure, awesome, great. Or do you want to win football games and get to a higher level or playing? Hugh Freeze has been there. We talked about playing with Alabama. Hugh Freeze started playing with Alabama. He's the guy that patented playing with Alabama by throwing the ball around. Everybody afterwards has just copied what he's done. He's been good everywhere he's been. And he's been great on offense everywhere he's been, too. You talk about the defensive battles. He's still known for that spread-you-out offense. Nobody's like, oh, man, yeah, let's get Hugh Freeze's, you know, be a defensive guy. No, you know you get some fun offenses. You get enjoyable games with him. And he wins. Yeah, he had baggages, but that's why he went to the nice Christian College of Liberty to get reformed. And now he's back. He's back and ready to go. Lane Kiffin, he's a leaver. He's a leaver. He leaves everywhere he goes. You want to risk that again? You want the redemption story, but think about if he did it to you again. You want him to rip your heart out twice? Oof. Twice? I don't think it's worth the risk. It's not worth the risk when you could get nice, reformed Hugh Freeze who has learned from his mistakes. This man is so dedicated, he was coaching Liberty from the press box in a hospital bed. On his deathbed, basically, he is willing to go out there and coach his guys. He's willing to do it. What is Kiffin doing? Oh, he's out there partying in Boca Raton, then blowing them off to go take a better job and be out there doing his thing in Ole Miss and going 500. Nope. Give me the nice, reformed coach from Liberty that is back and better than ever. And we've seen do it at a higher level than Kiffin in the SEC. Oh, Kiffin went 5-5 at Ole Miss? Okay. Hugh Freeze went 7-6 his first year. He got them up to 10-3. They finished 9th in the nation. He has them rolling. He's done it at a better level than Kiffin in the SEC. And he's not a leaver. He's not going to rip my heart out again.
Gotta say, I think Draven, slit his own throat by talking about this year because, you know, they won like 5 games and Liberty.
Yeah, the SEC record comparison.
And that was a bad argument for him. And Cam really brought it, pointed out, like, he is a leaver. He is a leaver. Yeah.
Liberty,
he hasn't left us before.
Liberty and Ole Miss, they got the same strength of schedule, don't they?
Hugh,
you did reference Lane Kiffin's 6-7 campaign here at Tennessee, which is very confusing to me.
7-6.
7-6. Yeah. No, it was 6-7.
It was 6-7. I thought they lost.
We went to a bowl game.
We lost to Virginia Tech.
Yeah, so we.
I mean, if you guys want to bet any amount of money, I'll bet you it was
7-6. Yeah.
Okay.
I remember.
Yeah. But we did lose a bowl game. That is correct. But yeah, either way, point Cam for me.
I agree. 1-1.
All right. That's cool.
Up next, we have.
It's really sad that you fumbled the bag. You had it with Kiffin. He wants Kiffin so bad he couldn't get it. Same as him. He wants Chadwell, and you couldn't close the deal there. Anyways, go ahead. Next.
The show is I'm unbiased, you know, John.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm here to keep you.
Anyway, last one. Two guys who got fired this year: Tom Herman versus Gus Malzahn.
I gotta go Tom Herman here.
I think you should have said that second one for the last. Kind of anticlimactic here. Between these. That's just a little critique.
I didn't know if we were going to get there or not.
Fair enough. Good point by you. All right, go ahead, Cam.
I got to go Tom Herman here. Tom Herman has been at some of the biggest universities in the country. He's been at Ohio State. He's been at Texas. Two of the biggest, most demanding boosters, higher-ups, things you can get. And he handled it pretty well. And he also did the thing that's most important when you want your team to be on your side. When the push came to shove and the boosters were like, we want you to do this, he said, no, I'm doing what my players want. My players want the respect. I'm going to respect my players, respect their wishes, because I ride for my guys. You want a coach that rides with your guys. And you also want a guy that has experience standing up or talking with these big boosters. Tom Herman has done that. We know Texas has demanding boosters, and we have to be pretty close to next on that list as how demanding our fan base, boosters, everything can be. You're getting into a lot when you come to Tennessee. We've seen people get scared off by from like, you know, the 2017 coaching search to like the Dave Dorian and stuff. Getting scared when you see people just on social media talking about you. Tom Herman is used to that kind of stuff. He's been at the big programs. It's not going to scare him off. He's looking for a redemption story right now. He is hungry. He is angry. He is mad he got kicked out of Texas for winning a pretty good amount of games. He's upset. They went seven wins in a 10-game season this year. 70% win percentage, not too bad. He is hungry, and he wants to prove himself. He wants to prove he can do it. Think about how cool of a selling point it is that you could be like, he's going to be pushing the whole, oh, we're the real UT. I've been at the other UT. This is the real UT, and I can prove it. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm back. He's going to sell you on that. He is an offensive guy, too, that can get that offense rolling. That's what you need nowadays. You need a guy that can get the people going. And, hey, he's not going to have Sam Ehlinger here. He gets a different quarterback. He gets Caden Salter. Oh, man. Or Hooker. Whoever he brings in. He can change it up. He's not stuck with Sam Ehlinger. He's not going to have a quarterback yelling that we're back after just winning a bowl game. He is going to get the most out of his players because we've seen that he rides for them, and he has the experience with the big-time programs.
Draven,
he'll get it done.
Where do I start here? So I guess I'll start with the whole defending the players, which I guess really works out well because, I mean, apparently, you know, everybody really liked Pruitt, and how did that work out? Still didn't result in wins. You can like a coach as much as you want. Doesn't mean he's a good coach.
Well, it's a difference when you're handing them bags
that's cool,
full
yeah,
of
defend
money
that.
And McDonald's bags. That'll make me like somebody, too.
But by the way, we're going to bring up the boosters and how Tom Herman handled all that and act like he did it well. He got fired. He still got canned. He literally still got fired. How do you think he's going to handle the pressure of UT? It's the same amount of pressure he couldn't handle in Texas. By the way, Texas should be dominating in the Big 12, right? We've said that. We said that yesterday. We've said that all week. This guy should have been dominating. Texas should always be at top of the Big 12. And how many Big 12 championships did he win? How many? Big fat zero. Thank you, Hayden. Big fat zero.
Hey, that's okay.
Couldn't even make it to the Pac-12 championship game in a conference-only schedule where Oklahoma lost two games. Still couldn't even make it to the Big 12 championship game? My goodness. Cool. Defend your players, right? That really leads to success. We've really seen that work out pretty well. Let's go to the Gus Bus real quick, shall we? Let's go to the Gus Bus. Let's just look at this resume. Just let me tell you this. Let me just break this down for you guys. What if I told you, a little 30 for 30, just kidding. What if I told you that in the next 6 or 7 years, we won't have one losing season. We're going to go 12 wins, 8, 7, 8, 10, 8, 9. My goodness, we would take that here in the next almost decade, right? Considering how bad we are, we would take Gus getting us at least back to floating. We're drowning right now. We're drowning. Yeah, we got a new AD. Cool. Hopefully it works out. But we're still underwater right now. We're still underwater. Gus would get us that float, man. He would get us.
Float.
We'd be floating. We'd be good to go. He's not gonna. He may not get you top. He may not get you as one of the best teams in the SEC. But he's been to a national championship. Tom Herman hasn't. He's been to big bowl games. He went to the Sugar Bowl, Peach Bowl, Outback Bowl. He would consistently at least get you 8-7 wins. I don't know about you guys. I'd take that right now. I'd take that for the next 5 or 6 years. One BCS national championship appearance and a couple of New Year's Six bowls. Couple of 8-win seasons, your worst year going
game,
7-6.
Seven
I would take that right now.
Wow, yeah, Tom Herman's also never lost more than, or never, he's won at least 7 games every year. He's also undefeated in bowl games.
Congrats on winning 7 games at Texas
when you're
supposed to be the powerhouse. Congrats at winning more than 7 games in Houston when you're what conference?
Texas
AAC?
Is eerily similar to Tennessee. People are stuck in the past of what we used to be, and they think they're still that brand. Tom Herman had to go in and deal with that straight on. And he still got them to a 10-win season in a couple of years, in 2 years of being in there. Wouldn't you take 10 wins at Tennessee in 2 years? Wouldn't you take that second year in the program, somebody getting you 10 wins after somebody's been talking about the past for so long and the luster has worn off of the program a little bit, you're able to bring a little bit back. That's why you have people like Sam Ellinger yelling, "We're back." People were so excited.
Why do we keep bringing up Sam Ellinger like he's the worst quarterback in the nation? He's not JG. My goodness, Sam Ellinger was decent.
Oh,
was
Gus
great.
Was out, he had JG.
I would say a lot of college coaches around the world would probably take Sam Ellinger in a lot of different situations for a starting quarterback in college football. Just saying.
I feel like you just lost it there for me, Dre. But I got Cam. Ellinger sucks.
I don't know what that
Come
was.
Come on. What do you guys... Okay. That's weak.
I just think Ellinger sucks.
That's the deal with adversity when you got Ellinger.
You take Ellinger over JG?
Barely.
Ellinger is not that bad. Are you serious, John? Have you watched? Do you watch Big 12? Do you watch any Texas games?
Unfortunately, I watch way too many Texas games.
Oh, now you want us to respect the Big 12 after saying, we don't win.
Said you respect the Big 12. I'm just saying Sam Ellinger is not that bad. But we'll
Draven,
make him out.
Just stop talking. You're just gonna lose. My point's gonna go to Draven. I think what was I gonna say? Oh, the point about the BCS national championship first game. Then Cam made the point. In year two, 10 wins. I mean, Gus won 12 in year one.
You know what? You're the judge of the game. Draven wins. I just give my opinion.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to judge it off the Ellinger comment.
That's fine.
He may have been
C plus, B minus quarterback. You guys act like he was literally holding Texas back.
C plus isn't very good.
And the point about
A minus quarterback. We're running out of time. Last call on the other side. Talk sports on Fan Run Radio. As we put the bow on a really good day in Tennessee athletics history, last call.
This could be a turning point.
This could be a turning point. You guys got any stories you want to get to, or do you just want to sit here and soak in a moment that, you know, maybe we'll look back on and say this was it?
Look back and 10 years later.
I'm kind of savoring it right now.
How the greatest decade of UT got started.
I love reading just people from message boards talking about it, but this comes from someone down at, you know, with ties to UCF. Just says this coming from UCF. This is message board fodder, but it's something that's going to get me excited. There was nothing we could do to keep him here. UT's offer was out of this world, and he had to take it. I give you guys credit for being serious and really getting what you wanted. When asked about what kind of coach he may hire, a winner. He'll have his target, whoever that is, and he'll go get him. He's a hell of a salesman, and his past experiences speak for itself.
ask.
This is a huge loss for UCF, and we will likely never have an AD like him again. I hope he go after his brother to replace him, is what they said.
Sounds like a death in the family down there.
Yeah, that's really. What I'm saying. It's hurting.
That's always a good measure. You know, go look and see what the people are saying after someone leaves. I never will forget after Butch Jones left Cincinnati going to read that, and like it was mostly negative. Like, this guy's a
think guy's about a fraud.
A lot of Cincinnati fans are like, he's a fraud. We won't miss him. Road Brian Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Weird, manipulative, controlling, all those things. That ended up being pretty accurate.
Yeah, remember like when Curry got hired here, Kansas State was like, yeah, you can have him.
That's essentially what they did. It was all like good luck, right? Because, I mean, he had, I forgot about that, but yeah, you're right. They had talked about how he had meddled with Bill Snyder and just had him so mad Bill Snyder was ready to quit.
Yeah, I got your legend about the quit your program.
The drive's up next. They'll cover it more. They'll have the phone lines popping. Russell Smith, Trey Wallace, and the Bear. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios.